Evening. It's good to see you all. Hopefully you're awake and ready to listen to what the Lord has to tell you tonight. I just have a few things to say before I start my message. Our elementary choir competed in the IACS tournament this past week, and they did well. We have talented kids at our church, and I think the teachers really work hard at preparing them, and our elementary choir finished in second place, so that's good. Praise the Lord for that. Our kids are all very talented at our church and school. Have you noticed this? I don't know what it is, but I like it. I think it's great. I hope my kids get it too. But when we go on trips to other churches or missions trips, we always get a lot of compliments on how they're able to minister. And so that is a blessing. Oh, I want to thank also Mark for leading singing on somewhat short notice with Jeff being out with a concussion. So thank you for filling in. I appreciate you stepping up. And this is, we have lots of moving parts this Sunday, so it's good. He's on top of things, and he's telling me things, and I appreciate that. That helps me a lot. And then, in case you didn't know, Pastor Slagle's down south. His son-in-law graduated this past week from med school. So he's with Ryan Smith and his daughter, Hannah Smith. So he's there, but he'll be back. So I'll be excited when he gets back. I'm always glad to see him come back, and I'll give him a long email tonight, and he'll give me a long email back. Well, my long email is like 5 sentences. His will be like 2 pages, single space. And so anyway, I'm sure there's something I forgot he'll remind me of. That's kind of how it works. And I say, yes, boss, and then we go on. All right. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you didn't bring your Bible with you, there's a pew Bible in front of you. That'd be page 1617 or 1617. 1 Corinthians 11, or in the pew Bible, page 1617. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, I pray that as we look at your word, that you would open up this to us. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to see what you have for us. Draw us to yourself, Lord. May nothing hinder our walk from being close to you and experiencing the joy that you give and the satisfaction that comes in obedience of you. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is a very familiar text. We read this typically when we have communion, and I just thought, what if we examined it a little closer? Verse 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. And that's usually where we would stop, because communion is about remembering Christ. That's central focus to it. Everything else really is secondary. But Paul goes on, and I think there's other important thoughts. Verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood, body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. So we get this passage. The elements remind us of Christ's body being sacrificed for us. It reminds us of Christ's blood that was shed for us, the blood that brings remission of sin, that brings us forgiveness. And then Paul goes on to the next section. He talks about how, for us, this is the focus, but how we need to be ready to participate in this. And we have to have the right focus so that it is what it should be. And so this is really a time of examination. Now, who among us likes to be examined? Not me, right? You might see something. You might fight something. I recently had a physical, and they took my blood pressure, and I thought, oh, our family has a history of high blood pressure. It goes back many generations. So we're very good at having high blood pressure. And so they went to check me, and I thought, what's going to happen here? And it checked out. It was okay. And I told the doctor, I'm on a strict diet, so don't worry about the blood pressure. I got that one. But there is that uncertainty when you're examined. What's going to happen here? Or how many of you, if you go to the dentist, it's like, how many cavities am I going to have? And so you brush and you floss and you just pray. I don't want any cavities. I don't know what they say. And they always go, huh, interesting. You're like, interesting good or interesting bad? You know, there's this uncertainty. What's going to happen? And we don't want them to find something out of place. We want them to say how great our teeth look, right? Because we want to hear good news. Well, this also is a time of examination. And it's our job to examine ourselves before the Lord. And we're accountable for how we do this. If it's a 5-minute examination, if this is something that's heartfelt and honesty and humility, the Lord knows that. And it gives a whole different meaning to this memorial, is how we enter into it. And our attitudes going to this memorial, remembering Christ. And so I thought I would preach a little message to you about having the right things to come to the Lord and entering into this communion with what's appropriate and what's proper and giving it the respect that it deserves. So, how should we come to a communion service? Number one, we should come with a proper reverence for Christ. Come with a proper reverence for Christ. Verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Christ. Now, if the communion service is really about Christ and his death, and how he sacrificed his body and his blood for us, then why is the focus on me? Why does how I enter this a big deal? Why should I matter? I shouldn't matter, right? If we're here thinking about Christ. No, you're not a big deal. But what's important is your attitude towards the body and blood of Christ. And so by the fact that I'm remembering it and by the fact that I'm participating in it, I should come in a manner that's worthy. Now, none of us are completely sinless. None of us are worthy of the great gift that God has given us. We're all people that don't deserve any of God's kindness. We deserve hell. And it's only God's goodness that we can be here and that we can be his people. So the idea that I'm going to be good enough in a sense that I've done enough things, well, that's not what it's talking about. The good enough sense here is that I'm humble and open before God, and I'm confessing my sins, and I don't take this in a nonchalant manner. I realize how important this is, and I realize how meaningful this memorial service is. So this is why we talk about self-examination. And it goes on to say, if someone enters this unworthily, perhaps there's unconfessed sin in their life, or there's something that they've had some kind of a problem with somebody else and they haven't gone to the person and sought resolution or restitution, depending on what they've said or what they've done. The idea of this person entering unworthily, it says that they're guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. What does this mean, guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord? I don't think this means you lose your salvation. That's not quite what it's saying. Salvation is, as you've heard on Sunday mornings, it's a gift of God. Eternal life, something God gives us, not something that we've ever earned. It shows God's kindness to us. The idea of being guilty is guilty of treating it lightly. And so the idea is that you can be guilty of someone who's disrespectful of what Christ has done. And so just by sitting here, maybe you dress nicely, maybe people respect you, look up to you, but in your heart you know that there's sin. And so as you participate, you are showing disrespect to the Lord because he knows what's in your heart. I don't know. I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know what's inside you. People don't know. I can be fooled very easily by people. I'm fooled all the time. But we're not doing this for what people think around us. We're thinking about Christ and what he sees in our heart. And so this is a time of self-examination. Before the Lord, I know that I've confessed my sin and I've tried to make things right. And I know in my heart that there's nothing hanging over my head that I'm ignoring. And coming with this examination of ourselves gives us a sense of reverence. This is a big deal, and I treat it as it is a big deal. And so we don't want to be guilty of the body and blood of Christ. We don't want to be guilty of being disrespectful. We want Christ to see us as someone who takes this seriously. So how should we come to the communion service? Number one, come with a proper reverence for Christ. Number two, come with an examined heart. Verse 28. But let a man examine himself, And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So the Lord's Supper is a time of examination. Am I ready for this? Is this something I'm prepared for? Is there sin in my life that I'm not confessing? Now, remember I talked about examinations? Like if you ask your kid to go clean their room, and you're like, did you clean your room? They're like, yep. And then you walk in there and it's a disaster. Well, what happened on the floor? Well, I didn't clean the floor. I didn't get that far. What about making your bed? I was going to get to that, but I thought I'm going to sleep in a few hours. I'll be sleeping there. So I left that. Well, that's not really cleaning the room, is it? And you know, that's how we can be sometimes. We can turn a blind eye to our weaknesses and our flaws and say, you know, I was having a bad day, or that person was obnoxious anyway, so I told them what I thought. Yeah, it's easy for us to make excuses for ourselves. And you know what the problem is with us examining ourselves? Our problem is that we are proud. And we put on our proud glasses, don't we? And we can see life through our own eyes. And I can ignore all my flaws and my blind spots. And I can be sitting here and thinking, I'm doing really great. But that's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants us to be humble and honest before Him. We need to look at our lives with seriousness and say, how does the Lord see me? Not just how do I want to see myself, or how do my friends see me? It should be what's really going on inside. Humbling moment for me. The best critiques of my sermons is always my wife, right? Because people will say nice things to me, but I'm like, do they want something, or do they really think that was good? Or maybe it was just short and they were happy. I don't know. But my wife will always tell me the truth, in love, of course. And one Sunday, this was a previous church, one Sunday I preached my hardest, right? And I thought the sermon was well-crafted, well-designed, and when I was all done, I asked her, how did it go? And I thought it was something very positive. And she just kind of looked at me, kind of smirked. I thought, oh boy. Okay, what is it? Because I thought, I got everything right. I nailed that sermon. It was all there. Illustrations were there. It was well constructed. I took apart the scripture. I thought, it's the whole deal. And she said to me, how much did you pray this week? And I thought, oh, that was me talking up there. That wasn't the Lord working through me. And it was a crushing moment. The truth is painful sometimes, right? And I thought, that's the best thing I needed to hear right there. And the wisdom God gives your wife, it's a wonderful thing. And sometimes we need to have that truthfulness, right? Go beyond all the things that we did outwardly, all the efforts we made, all the things that we did, we did this great service, I did this great thing over here, that great thing. Yes, but where is your heart really? And are you truly living the thing in your own personal life? When no one else is around, is the true you there? We have to examine ourselves. We have to see where we're really at. Now, David, he prays this in Psalm 139. He says to God, You search me, you know me, you see me from the inside and the outside. And David says, I want you to see if there's any wicked way inside of me. Thoroughly examine me. Whoa. You think, David, be careful what you say. He's going to tell you, right? You're going to know all the bad stuff. But this is David's just fearless honesty before the Lord and his humility. And God honored this humility. And we have to have this same humility before the Lord. Because I believe God does want to show us what's inside, doesn't he? It's like God's will. It may be a mystery, but he wants to reveal it to us. It's not a secret that we can never attain. God wants us to see what his desire is for us. And God wants to show us what's inside of our hearts. But he wants to show it to us. But he wants us to want to see it, doesn't he? He's not going to show it to us and have us pick whether we want to fix it. We've got to come to God in just pure open honesty. Lord, you show me, okay? Break down my walls of pride. Help me to be transparent and open. Show me what's really in there, because I want to fix it. Because I want to be real before you. I don't want to be phony. I don't want to go through all the motions. I don't want to just be superficial. I want to be real in my heart. And when we come to the Lord with this honesty and with this humility, the Lord will show us, won't he? And it's our job at that point to confess that sin. If it's in our heart, if it hurts somebody else, we need to go confess it to that person, okay? I have sinned. Or if we've done something, we need to make right with somebody, restitution, you go to the person. You know what? I owe you this money, or I need to fix this or make this right. And that's when we're ready for communion. If you come here today, and we're going to take a participant communion in a minute, but if there's outstanding sin in your life and in your heart you know this, your heart condemns you, don't participate. Don't do it. The Lord's not impressed by you going through the motions. That's disrespectful to the Lord, isn't it? And don't participate. Now, if there's sin in your life, and maybe you didn't take communion, you're like, okay, I just won't take it anymore, then I'll be free. That's not the point. The point is not to stop taking communion. The point is to go make it right so that you can participate, because communion is very important. It shows great respect to Christ, and it helps us remember him. So we need to enter this with worthiness. We need to examine our hearts like David, say, look inside of me, and Lord, I want to fix this. I want to make this right so that I can participate in a way that honors you. So as we come to communion, we should come with a proper reverence for Christ. We should come with an examined heart. And the third thing is, we need to come knowing that God will judge our actions. Verse 29 and 30. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. If we participate in a half-hearted manner with unconfessed sin that we know about, the Lord will judge you. It says in this passage that there were some even there that had died. The idea of sleep there is a euphemism for death. They had been sick, or they had died as a result of their flippant attitude. And the Lord does hold us accountable. What we do here has eternal significance. And we will give an account of how we took this today. Now, will the Lord judge us the very second you take it? I don't know. He can. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But I know for sure that you'll stand before him someday, and you'll give an account of your life. And you'll have to explain what you did and why. And so it's important that we participate, but that we participate knowing that we're held accountable. We need to realize the gravity of the situation and that our actions will be held accountable. And it matters what we do. So let's not come here with unconfessed sin that can keep us from giving Christ the proper respect that he deserves. Let's bow our heads together.